a hexameter since my introduction says there's an teretz v'keinim in the Shulchan Aruch Tofresh Ayin Vav, I think it is, but in Hanukkah, down the side of the Shulchan Aruch, you see there's an teretz v'keinim. To quote the Medrash that we don't seem to have nowadays, we unfortunately lost many Midrashi Chazal down the Doris in the Golis, and one of them we lost is quoted by the Teretz Kenim that says that La'asid Lavoi, all the Yomim Tovim, there'll be no more Pesach, no more Shavuos, no more Sukkot, but Chanukah and Purim, by the Chanukah, will remain La'asid Lavoi, which is a very interesting Medrash supporting the Teretz Kenim there. Why did it? It's interesting for a number of reasons, but one of them is as follows, is that we are very often used to thinking that Chanukah is an ordinary situation that happens in Halacha, which is when Klal Yisrael is in trouble and we get saved, so you're mechuyev to make a yom tov. Since it happened to the whole of Klal Yisrael, we make it into a national day. But in fact, what the Ateret Zkein is bringing in that Medrash is something much more, that there's something much more essential and much more profound to Chanukah, that Chanukah is so, the avoid of Chanukah and what's happening on Chanukah and the struggle we had against the Misyavnim, who were Jewish, and Yavon in general, was something so deep and profound that the tikkun that was achieved on Chanukah is something that will remain even after the Yom Tovim have passed, which is amazing and needs understanding. And it implies that Chanukah is dealing with things that are much more essential than, it's not that there happened to be a problem and there happened to be a solution. What's going on is something that's cosmically essential, which is something we do see elsewhere. In fact, we see it when we start probing in many Midrashim. One of which is right at the Medrash Rabbah, right at the beginning of the Torah, the Bereishis Rabbah says on the pasuk, the Bereish Bar Elokim Es Hashamayim Es Haaretz Va'aretz Haytza Soyu Vavoyu V'Choshech Al Panei Tohoim Al Panei Tohoim Ruach Elokim Merachepes Al Panei Amayim V'Yom Elokim Yihi'ar V'Yihi'ar. The Medrash, the Bereishis Rabbah brings this idea of four phases of difficulty. There's the Soyu, there's Vayu, there's Choshech, there's Sohoim. But these four are mapped many, many times into history. Bereishis Rabbah lists examples of how this process of four phases of darkness and then light maps its way into many, many, many different situations. And one of them, perhaps the most primal of all, is that the whole of history has to occur in this way. So Klal Yisrael has experienced Arba Golios, four Golios. Soyu, the chaos, is Keneged Golos Bovel. Voyu is Poros Amodai, the Persians are took over. Choshech, the darkness, is Keneged Yavon, the Greeks, who then took over when we came back there to start. And the Sahoim, the abyss, is Edom, Adayom Azeh, the Western, the European exile that we're stuck into this day. So that becomes, it becomes that encountering Yavon was an essential part of history. It wasn't just a localized problem. It happened to be they got stronger, they took over to Sof, and we needed Hashem to save us. It's much deeper. It's an actual, encountering Yavon is an essential part of what Klal Yisrael has to go through on the pathway to the Yihyar, to the production, to the light, to the Olam Haba. The pathway to achieving what Klal Yisrael needs to achieve in the world, we have to encounter and overcome this darkness that is going to be Yavon. And that raises two other points, of course, which is number one, that it's probably not a coincidence, of course, that on the confrontation with Yavon, Dafkin, the battle against Yavon, when we were successful, a second episode happened that appears to be otherwise unconnected, which is that we have a nace involving Or, involving light. Because, of course, if we understand the whole struggle was somehow against the culture that Torah disguised as darkness, as choshech, then we understand the significance, or at least we see why there would be a significance of light. Of course, it needs more elaboration. That's the first point. The second point is that it's interesting. In order to encounter Torah, to encounter chaos, you have to discover middos of order, whatever they are. There's a Maharal, whole sefer of the Maharal, the Ne'er Mitzvah, on what each chelik of, what each goal of exactly was and what we have to be mistaken. The boyu, the emptiness, you have to find what is full or deep or whatever it is. But to encounter choshech, when you're struggling against darkness, what you need to do is produce light. And amazingly, that same light that you need to overcome darkness is the same light that is the tikkun at the end. After choshech and the pnei soim comes, eventually comes yihi'ar, comes light. Which implies that whatever midas, whatever it was we needed to develop to encounter and defeat the darkness of Yavon, is it that in greater application will be needed, applied more and more, will eventually produce the aura that comes at the end, the aura of Olam Haba. The Ruach HaLakim Rachepes is Mashiach, the Vayehi Or is Olam Haba. Which means that somehow we've already ingrained, we've already developed a certain something in the experience of Hanukkah, in the battle against Yavon, against the Yavon, in that battle against darkness, we already learned some of the essential traits that are going to be needed to bring the aura of Yemei HaMashiach. That is a introduction to anything we say about Hanukkah. But we need to understand, what is it specifically about Yavon? What is specific to Greece that we call them Choshech, darkness? By the way, the other time we encounter these Abagalis and Bereshit is in the Bris Vein Absorim, when Avraham has the aim of Hashem, this awe, the frighteningness, the darkness, Gedolah, Yofelas, this all enormous frightening darkness falling on him, and Chazal Dorish it backwards there, the Medrash says, Yofelas, the fallingness is Bovel, the enormity that's part of the Choshech, darkness once again, of course, is Yavon, and the aim is Eden. But that means that darkness is always the Greeks. And we wonder why that is. We wonder why that is not at first obvious. To the contrary, a cursory, a first glance of Eir HaShoni, Yavon did quite a lot of good things in the world. They were a culture that used the brain like Yisrael did. There was no other culture in the ancient world that used the brain in that way. No culture that appreciated the beauty of the world. No culture that came so close to realizing there was Hashem Echad as Yavon. They didn't get there. But no culture that came as close to us. You think they're very close. And in case you think that's just our emotional reaction to things, Chazal say very similar things. As many of the Svarim HaKadoshim quote three different places, or maybe they quote more, I've only seen them quoting one of Zoya, one of Zoya Chodosh, and one of Tikkuni Zoya, that all speak about, and whatever this means when we're dealing with worlds that are far above us, they speak about Yavon, the Greeks being the closest keeper, the closest layer to Yisrael. Amazing idea. That somehow, whatever it means is already for the world of Soid, but somehow, Yavon has a tremendous proximity, tremendous closeness to the world of Yisrael. And we see that expressed in Halacha. We see it expressed in Halacha in a Gemara Megillah that says you could write a Sefer Torah only in Lashon HaKodesh or Lashon Yavoni. You could write it in Greek, which is not an incidental thing. A language is a culture's way of seeing the whole world. A language is an essential way of seeing reality. That's another discussion. We refer to Kol Am V'Loshon. Rome Tonim Kol HaLashonis. Cultures in the world are described as languages. If the language of Greece is capable of capturing Torah in it, that's an unbelievable. They developed something very unbelievable about them. The Gemara in Soto says that in Eretz Yisrael you should only speak Lashon HaKodesh or Lashon Yavonis. That wasn't a local political situation by the time, even already Ksivas the Mishnah, but certainly the Gemara, there was no such thing as, there was almost nobody left in the country who spoke Greek. It wasn't because people spoke that, it's because B'yasoid HaDovah, there's something about Greek, there's something very, a lot to it. We find, interestingly enough, one of the Lashonis has many, many different expressions given to Klal Yisrael by Chazal based on Tanakh, and one of them is Yoina. The Dov or the Below is based on many Pesukim, one is Shiashim, Yoinasi, Tamasi. And the Medrash in two places, one is a Shachar Tov, one is in the Psichta, an introduction to the Esther Rabbah, says that Yoinasi, the word Yoinasi for Yisrael, my Dov, or a word of expressing love, is rooted in the word Yavon, Greece. And so much so, the Medrash says, this is expressed in Golos Yavon. But amazingly, we find wherever we turn, there's some deep relationship between Yavon and Yisrael. So what is going on? Why are they choshech? Why are they so much the darkness? And we find two answers. The Medrash Rabbah that I quoted earlier supplies the first. It says, why are they called darkness? Asher shichu, they darkened Yisrael, the eyes of Israel. Why? Because they asked them to write on the keren asher, on the horn of an ox, ein on the chelik, we have no portion of Elokai Yisrael in the God of Israel. Very strange practice if one thinks about it. Why the horn of an ox? Write on a big slate somewhere. Write it on the walls of the Beit HaMikdash. Why on the keren asher? But we also find brought down in the Svarim, a number of places actually, but it's also in the Megillah Antiochus, which never made it into Tanakh, but they quote that there were in fact four particular gezeiros, four specific decrees that the Yavonim via the Misyavnim, that Antiochus up in Syria via the proxies he had in Klalisa, unfortunately in Klalisa or the Pershman and Sibyl, but amongst the Jewish people who were noted towards the Yavon. They made four decrees, a very interesting decree. They banned Bris Milah, which we understand. Milah is one of the Oisiyas of it. They banned Shabbos, also an Oisiyas, in terms of time. Shabbos and Milah make a lot of sense. But then they, instead of banning Kashrus and Yom Kippur and all sorts of other interesting things, they banned two other very strange mitzvahs. One is Kiddush HaChodesh. What's Kiddush HaChodesh? That when you want to decide when the new moon is, you do it by the Re'iyah of Edim. You have witnesses come to Yerushalayim and tell the Sanhedrin that the new moon is there. We test them. If they're right, then we declare a new moon. They banned that. And the other is Torah, but not Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, why are both those very strange? They're very peculiar ones to try to ban. First of all, because neither of them seem to be bannable. What on earth do you... Let's say you want to ban Kiddush HaChodesh. Is that going to shake us? What would ever happen on a Yom HaMa'uman? What would happen on a cloudy day when you didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was coming? The answer is, at least up your road there, that we have a Mesorah going back to Sinai with an alternative Luach, which today we've now put into operation. As a Kriyas, as a cotton. But the point is that we already had a backup plan. Tzadfal always had an option of what to do if you couldn't use Kiddush HaChodesh. It's not going to throw us. On the contrary, it makes everything even more predictable. We now know exactly when Yom Kippur is going to be for the next 14 hours. Sending up to Yom HaMashiach. We know when we have no problem activating a backup luach that we had all the way going back to Sinai. By the way, in case you think the Avonim didn't know that, which of course is the Misyavnim certainly did, they also had worked it out by then. So the Babylonians, so a lot of groups, actually you can mathematically work it out. Anyway, we have it as a Mesorah. There's certainly no damage going to be done by Bari Kiddush HaChodesh. So what on earth is behind that madness? And finally, how on earth, why try to ban Torah Shebaal Peh? You want to stop Yiddishkeit? Ban Torah Shebichotav. As many others try to do, burn Chas Hashom. There's ways to destroy Sifrei Torah. Torah Shebaal Peh? In those days it was Baal Peh. What would you do? You could just imagine the Yavoni knocking on the door. Someone's giving a shit. Stop talking about the weather. You know, nobody's going to be able to ban anyone talking. You know, they can't stop them. So what's behind these gzeiras? Obviously behind these gzeiras is something that essentially reveals the choshech, the darkness of what Yavon was all about. And I want to begin, we don't have that much time, so we won't explore it fully, but I want to make some points, and that is that one of the middos of Yavon, one of the things that you see, people sometimes misunderstand what Yavon was about, and because the more we understand the choshech, the more we understand the darkness, the more we understand how we battle with it today, and the more we understand what the tikkun of Hanukkah is. And people sometimes think all Yavon stood for was eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die, which is a quote out of a specific Yavoni thinker. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. That was not the Yavon at the time of Hanukkah. Now, there are Sfarim that go, there definitely was elements of that in the time of Hanukkah, but Yavon was far, 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 far more sophisticated and far more dangerous by the time of Hanukkah. And it works like this, and we see it already right in Torah itself. Yast Elokim liyafeth v'yishkain ba'ahalei shem. Yavon in depth appreciated the beauty of the world. They celebrated the beauty of the world. They celebrated it. They appreciated it, which allowed them to do philosophy. They saw an abstractions in the world that you could study it mathematically. They saw all sorts of interesting things about the world that they were right to see. And they celebrated the beauty of the world. They celebrated the form of the human being and the achievements capable of the human body, and that's why they have sports and all sorts of things. Doesn't sound so bizarre. What is Yisrael's position on this? And the answer is, at first it's not so obvious. We know Shekachem v'Heveleyesi. But we find, it turns out, that our attitude to beauty, the beauty of the world and the possibility, which is also our expression and self-expression and all of this, is something we find turns out to be a machlokes. That is as deep as the machlokes this week's sedra between Yosef and his brothers. Yosef, we find, is a person whose entire life revolves around beauty. He's sold into slavery because of the beauty, the beautiful coat that he's given. He's elevated, he's chosen by Potiphar as the Medrash to be a slave based on his beauty. And all the way through, we find that his chayin, his charm, captures everybody, and he uses it all the time. And we find his greatest nisoyon. And in case we think this is just something he couldn't help all the time, so we see from the beginning of the Sedra that Vunat, as Rashi, used to literally look after the way he looked. It's an interesting thing. And we find even worse than that at his great moment of nisoyon, the decisive moment from which we call him Yosef HaTzadik. V'yazor kol asher lo b'yad Yosef v'lo yoda ito me'umo kiim alechem asher oichol v'yosef yifei soya v'yifei mara. Yosef was beautiful in terms that we normally only describe for feminine beauty. And Rashi says, Kim and Shara at my Moshe Lischalecha Bashaysim Salsa Basari started playing with his hair again. Amakadish Bokha, Vicha Misabo, Vaatam Salsa Basarecha. you're interested in your beauty right now? Ani megarav b'chata doiv, I bring the problems on you miyad. She begins her issues. But we see very interesting, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that describes Yosef as the Moshe of the Mitzrayim calls him Yefeifiyah, the person of beauty. And we can see how dangerous it is. And that was the middle of Yavon. You can certainly see how dangerous it is. The brothers this week, when they sell Yosef, first of all, the Megala Mukha says on this week's Sedra that the whole of the Maaseh of Chanukah, the whole of the battle was needed to be as a tikkun of Mechiras Yosef. But we can almost understand Mechiras Yosef. Hine Baal HaChalom Esbos, says the Medrash this week. Why does it say Baal HaChalom, the dream master, the dreamer? No, because this, what they saw is that this one's going to lead them to the Baal, to Avodah Zarah. What's the Medrash mean? The Medrash explains that La'osid, relative to where they were standing, they could feel a koich, they could see something in Yosef that would lead to his descendant, Yerovam ben Nevat, when he split the Malchus away from Yehuda, builds two golden calves, Egel Azar, two in the kingdom that was then called Yisrael. And they felt within Yosef the possibility that the person who's into his beauty and into his expression and his charm is a small step away from self-worship and egoism and Avodah Zarah. And of course, the Medrash in Kisisa, the Tanchuma, the famous Tanchuma, that even the first Egel Azahav, how did they produce an Egel Azahav? So the Tanchuma, they had a special slate. A slate, there are the words, Ale Shor, rise, Yosef. Yosef is the Shor, is the bull, is the ox. Rise ox to bring up the Atmos, Yosef, the bones of Yosef from the Nile. They took the same slate, threw it into the fire full of gold, and produced an Egel Azahav. Implying the koichus that exist in Yosef, dangerous. They can produce a Avodah Zarah. Yosef says, B'nai Sofcha, the Yevonim felt this. They felt there's a part of Yisrael. Do you also understand the beauty of the world and charm and expression and glory? You understand our language, Yisrael. Kisvu lachem, write to yourself, al keren hashor, on the horn of the ox, the symbol of Yosef and Egel Azahav, right there that we have nothing special about. Yosef says the Bnei Yisofcha is Gematria Antiochus. But this is a koyach, this is a common act, amazing. And yet we see, as the Megala Mukha said, it was a disastrous thing to sell Yosef. It was a mistake. It was a mistake, which is interesting. It's a mistake in the Torah, he's the one who ends up being correct. They have to be Maida to him, and that's one of the reasons why Yehuda got the name Alpinavur to feed the Medrashes, that he knew to be Maida even to Yosef when he was wrong, and to Tomoli. Yosef is the one who's tzaddik, because Oymed b'nisayon, in a way that nobody else is. The only one of the people in Tanakh who gets the name tzaddik by Chazal. Yosef had tzaddik. So there's something right about Yosef. The pasuk in Zechariah, in Perek Tes of Zechariah, I'll say it outside if we don't have it in Telegram, because inside. But it says that it's Hashem, the Navi gives a mashal of Yehuda as a bow, and Ephraim, then Yosef, as the arrow. And if we have those two together, Yehuda and Yosef together, then I can wake up the Banechot Tzion, your children Tzion, against Yavon. Amazing. In order to defeat the Koichos of Yavon, you need both Yehuda and Yosef. You need both the world that rejects Yosef and the world that accepts him in Torah. When they come together, somehow, the two of them together can defeat Yavon. In other words, Yavon feels something about Yosef and his beauty that's dangerous, that's like them. And the answer is they're right, but if it's done correctly, the elements of both the parts of Christ are to see what's wrong with that and what's right. We've built something that is capable of defeating Yavon. Without it, we're not capable of defeating them, is the implication. Which means there's no shortcuts in this Messiah. More than that, we have the Gemara in Baba Basra, which says that the only way we're going to defeat Esav, defeat Edom, is through Yosef, and that's why we saw already back in Vayetzeh, the Yaakov is only ready to go and meet Esav again when Yosef is born. Moshe, what's the Moshe? Rashi brings it. The Moshe is like, is based on the Pesukim of Avadia, that Esav's like this big bundle of straw, and Yaakov's like a fire, but you need the spark of Yosef to ignite it and destroy it. Moshe, says the Medrash, it's a Moshe. The guy sees this huge camel, because the camel overloads him with flax coming down, and gets scared. How am I going to deal with this? So some Chacham tells him, don't worry, one little spark will destroy the whole thing. Which, by the way, as I heard this quoted from a man called, from a rabbi called Matthias Weinberg. He said that once, if you think about it, that's an exact dimion to the only mission in Shas that mentions Hanukkah, which is the mission of Bava Kama, which speaks about the halacha of a camel that comes into a shuk, and there's a little light. The light, the, if it lights, as if it was inside the chanas, it's about the bala the chanvoni potter. But if it's outside, it's chayef. But if, says Rav Yehuda, it's neiris Hanukkah, then your potter even outside the neiris Hanukkah allowed to burn up the flax. The neiris Hanukkah is of course the remez in that moshel to Yosef. It can't be a coincidence. That's the thing. But some others, there's a nekudah chibur. Now what is this? So I want to explain as follows. What was behind all these strange gederos? What was Yavon doing, and what's the answer to that? And it's really, it's another Tanchuma, it's a Medrash Tanchuma at the beginning of Parashat Tazria. And Tanchuma records a famous strange discussion between a Roman called Turnus Rufus Harosha, who was a governor, who had the authority over Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Akiva. Often they'd have to have discussions about the taxes there, or all sorts of things, and sometimes about the philosophy too. And the Romans, as we know, really didn't embrace anything philosophically. They were still in the way of Yavon, which is why the Choshech Al Panei Tahom, the darkness that, even though Yavon's gone, that darkness still remains over the rest of history till Mashiach. And Turnus Rufus says to Rabbi Akiva, he says to him, which is greater, the Maisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or the Maisim of Adam? What is greater, the works of man or the works of God? And Rabbi Akiva answers, it's also Gemara in Kesubas, but Rabbi Akiva answers, he takes out a stalk of wheat, he takes out a chita and says, this is what Hashem produces. He takes out a loaf of bread and says, this is what man produces. Amazing answer. Gemara in Kesubas says it, that when Hashem describes the mice, that shul, his own bria describes it as if it's one yad, when it's the mice and tzaddikim as if it's both the yadayim. But somehow the works of man are greater. We don't understand what's going on. And the Medrash carries on and says, you have your pasuk in Lech Lecha which says Halech Lefonav Eyetomim, how through Bris Milah, you do Bris Milah, you achieve some kind of perfection. If Hashem wanted perfection, so Ribbono Shel Olam wanted a perfected body to be built with Bris Milah, why didn't he just make it with Bris Milah? What's Rabbi Akiva answer? But you think the body came out perfected without Bris Milah? So why does it have an umbilical cord that needs cutting? What is behind the Medrash? And the Rashi explained a beautiful thing. The philosophy of Yavon, it's a philosophy that's remained, the Western world has changed, but it's always kept this attitude up, is that what's beautiful about Maaseh Bereishis, if there's beauty to it at all, what's beautiful about it is what's given in Maaseh Bereishis. What's beautiful about the world is the world, is nature. Nature is given in its state and that's what it is. And we should appreciate it and celebrate it. It can't really be changed. And it shouldn't really be changed. That's Yavon. And therefore, the greatest thing that could possibly be is whatever there is in the world. That's the human nature. That's the way it should be. The human body, that's what we should celebrate. This is what we should look at. And here, this is the way the world is. That's the way the world is. We better get used to it and tolerate it. Yisrael says, no. That's terrible. What's beautiful about the world is something else. Is that the world is created chaser, and we are here to be mashlim, to complete it. And that begins with Bris Milah. Milah is that the guf, the body itself, comes out with Arlov, comes out with something wrong to it that needs tikkun right from the beginning. The human body is created incomplete. The world, Hashem gives the world with wheat, but we need to be partners. We need to turn it into something. Hashem gives us the unfinished so that we can be mashlim. This machlokes, this deep divide in the way we look at the world, turns out to be the central issue of this whole struggle. Because all the mitzvahs, the Yavonim, via the Messiah, try to block us from doing our mitzvahs that express this. There's no greater example than Shabbos. Shabbos, what's the idea of Shabbos? Hashem builds the world in 6 days, rests on the seventh day. Shabbos is Olam Haba. The Shabbos we have is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is Olam Haba. The only people who are allowed to keep Shabbos, V'lo Nesata L'Goy Aratzis. There's no Nesina to them. The only people allowed to keep Shabbos, those building Olam Haba, those who are also building Bereishis. Mi she'torach be'erev Shabbos yeichol b'Shabbos. The one who works to bring Shabbos is allowed to keep Shabbos. Shabbos is a sign that we're a partner in my federation. Shem builds the world, he has Shabbos. We're building the world, we have Shabbos. The only one who can build Shabbos is the one who does the Malacha and the Sheshet Yam, the one who builds the world in those 6 days. Shabbos is a sign that we're shutzim with Hashem in my separation. That the Yavanim couldn't deal with. Gmilah, Shabbos. Kiddush HaChodesh. Not only do you tell us that you could be your partners in perfecting the guf of the human, and your partners in my separation, but you're even partners in what goes on in the Olamos. You're going to decide, Rosh Chodesh is going to be decided as a shutfus between the way Hashem makes the world and you, the human being. You're going to decide when it comes out that doesn't make sense, says the Yavon. No. And Yisrael says, of course it makes sense. When Yom Kippur comes out, with all the nafka minis and halacha, it's going to be decided by whether we saw it or we didn't. When Pesach comes, when Bar Mitzvah comes, when potential Chiyuv Misa comes, it's going to be decided as a shutfus. They may not have been able to stop it. They knew we'd have to switch to Luach. But that's what they want. They don't want us to be shutzim in deciding it. And worse for them than anything else, they can tolerate Torah Shebichtav. The Greeks were very tolerant of other ways of thinking. But they cannot tolerate Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebalpeh, where the human is a shutzim in bringing out Torah. Where we can stand and say, Loi bashamayim hi, Rav Yeshua can say. Even a Baskel can't decide halacha today. It's a shutfus of asana. Chidush? That's something that's impossible to the Yavanim. Impossible to the Messiah. It doesn't make sense. That you can have halachas derabbanon. That you can have shivim ponim v'torah and we can decide which one becomes manifest in halacha. None of this, they can't relate to this. It doesn't matter if they can balance or can't. That's what they can't deal with. Do rituals, do Jewish things, but don't be shut up with Hashem. When the Gemara in Shabbos is a cold time, she don't have a slam, dina lemas amito, and her does din is nasak, a shut of my separation. That's impossible, but that's exactly what we are. It's exactly what we are. You see, Yavon looks at a world and says, the way it is the way it is. And we celebrate it. How this? So they sport. What sport? I think about sport. Sport is a frightening thing. Sport is a competition to decide which goof was given the greatest natural ingredients, which genes are, sport by that, you might put a bit of effort in, but 99.9999% of humanity is genetically excluded from any possibility of winning, because they're celebrating what's been given. They're celebrating the world as it is. Yisrael has two attitudes to the world: a sense of it's Hashem's world, not my world. It doesn't belong to me. But what belongs to me then is how I express myself in that world. Now, they don't celebrate my expression and beauty and all these things as that's what's been given and that's what we now share about. No! The place to excel, the place to manifest, the place to express ourselves is specifically only in the partnership with Hashem in building the world. That's the attitude of Yisrael. That's when Yosef is Yosef HaTzadik. Yehuda is Hodah. Yehuda is the sense of, I recognize that the world here is Bishvilini for Oilam. I recognize this world is Hashem's world, not my world. But when I say Bishvilini for Oilam, it's created for me. It's created for me to discover my koichos, the gifts I was given, so that I can be a shutus in correcting, in changing, in building a better world, in bringing the Or, in bringing the Ruach Marachepet Alamayim down into Vayim Lihiar. That's why Yosef is indestructible. Yosef has the middah of Tzaddik. Yosef, the Nekud Zachibu between Yehuda and Yosef, the Sfasema says it beautifully. Let me say how the Sfasema says it, so maybe this will bring out slightly clearer the point I'm saying. He says on Chanukah, what's the Avoida of Chanukah? The Avoida of Chanukah is Lahoidos or Lahalal. So the Sfasema is Lahoidos, that's Yehuda. That's his name. Lahalal, that's Yosef. The place for beauty and expression and pain is in the recognition that this world is given incomplete. For us, the beauty of the world is not the way the world is. The beauty of the world is that we can be shut in and being a sack in it. Yosef can take and rise and create a Mitzrayim where he can give everyone a Mitzrayim for his Mila. That's the beauty of the world. That's the place of beauty. That's the place for our koichos. That's the place for our self-expression. Where's its most practical application? Well, first of all, in our shkafa of life, that we're here to be shut in to bring the tikkun to the world, that we're here as shut in my sabreshis, the way we learn Torah, the way we bathe the air to everything. But its most poshut expression is in the simple way we treat mitzvahs. They're not rituals, they're not acts, they're the place for us to deeply express ourselves. Hashem gives the mitzvah, we respond with what we call hidur, beautifying the mitzvah. Zekeli va'an vehu. Two drashas of Chazal, what do you mean va'an vehu? Ani v'hoi, I am a shutuf with Hashem. Va'an vehu, I'll beautify, a smile upon of the mitzvah, I'll make the mitzvah beautiful to me. Because I see every mitzvah as a relationship with Hashem, a partnership in bringing Kedusha to the world, and I put everything into it. You see, the way my separations went is that right from the beginning, Hashem built it, but yo, there was light. That light shone, say Chazal, for 36 hours. Adam Arishon was created halfway through Friday, 12 hours of Friday, 24 hours of Shabbos, 36 hours. And then that oil was mistaric, was removed. And Hashem called out to Adam and says, Ayeka, where are you? You've gone. Come back. And the Medrash Eicha, the beginning of Eicha, says, Ayeka, Gematria 36. It's the challenge to Adam to bring back those 36 hours of light. Now it's up to you. Yaakov arrives Sholem. Finally he defeats Esav. Yaakov's main Shufra. He has the beauty of Adam Arishon. Where's that manifest most powerful? He finally defeats the Malach of Esav. Vayizrach loy Hashemesh. Says the prophet, the sun shines for him, not the sun rose, the sun shone for him. He brought the light of Hashem back into the world. Says the Maharil, Loi Lamed Vav, verse 36 that he brought back into the world. And that's manifest in the Lamed Vav Tzadikim in every door. It's manifest in the wives of Yaakov. It's probably why the Seder Olam says that Rachel died at 36. I leave you to work out the gematria of Leah. But it's all the way through. The Lamed Vav Tzadik is that we're bringing the Or of Hashem into the world. Comes along Chanukah. By the way, of course, it's manifest in Torah Shabbat Peh. Well, although the 60 Masechtos of Shas, Hashkocha had it, there's only Lamed Vav when it comes to the Talmud Bavli. Exactly 36 Masechtos, because that's why we're the Shutzen and bring out our Hashem. Comes Chanukah, and the Halacha is one candle per house. The Mahadrin. Mahadrin doesn't mean those in what Mahadrin means the beautifiers. One each per person in the house. The Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. One on the first, two on the second, three on 36. The Lamed Vav Ner is Chanukah. The Mahadrin, those who see the beauty, those who see beauty and invested in where I can be a shutuf with Hashem. That's where we bring Tikkun to the world. That's what Chanukah is. Chanukah is not to look at the world and be complacent and be happy with it. Not to look at my possessions as things that I try to celebrate or enjoy. That's Yavon. But to look at the world and me and myself and everything as a gift of Hashem, the greatest gift being that He built it incomplete. That everything we have is a kli to bring Tikkun to the world. That every koyach we're given, our full self-expression, that we put into every, put our full into every little mitzvah that we do. We put our full into learning and creating Torah. We have minds that are going to bring more Torah into the world. We have minds that are going to bring more of the aura that was Ganas at the beginning into the world. And if we're successful on Chanukah, l'hoidei v'lehalel, we're moida and we're mahalel at the same time, then we're zeicha to what was nisim niflois back then, the Yeshuas. Ezra Hashem, we should be zeicha through that koyach to be shutzim and bringing that aura back into the world. We're zeicha to the nisim niflois and the Yeshuas. We should be even holy. Amen.